passage open as the choir come down. Do you keep that passage open in John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. Well, I wonder, have you ever thought about the most adventurous way to get into the building at All Saints? I always think they missed a trick in not putting a trap door in the floor here so that it could just pop up with smoke. That'd be quite an entrance, wouldn't it? What about going through the roof? You could get on the roof, take out a pane of glass and abseil down. There is a biblical precedent for entering via the roof. But of course, that is not the way in to All Saints. You come through the door. You come through the door to get into All Saints. But of course, the bigger question this morning for us all is not how to get into this building, but how do we get into the people of God? How do we belong to God's people? How are we saved now and forever? What is the way to be Christian, to be saved? How can I have the sure hope of knowing that I'm saved for heaven, accepted and forgiven by God, one of the people of God? That's the big question that's answered this morning in our passage. What does God say? What does Jesus say? Well, it's there very clearly in verse 9. Jesus says, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." That's not flaky, is it? It's absolute clarity, utterly clear. The way into the people of God, the way into the church of God, to those who will be saved from hell to heaven, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He says it himself, "I am the gate, I am the door. Walk this way by faith alone in me." Now, why does Jesus say that here in this part of John's Gospel? Well, take a look at who he's saying it to. It's there in chapter 10, verse 1. "Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees." This is addressed to the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees. And what Jesus is saying is very important because he says, "Very truly." I guess maybe you remember the version when you were younger that said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." It's important that these Pharisees hear what Jesus is saying. And we see why, because of where it comes in the Gospel of John. Chapter 10 comes before chapter 9, which is obvious. But in chapter 9, the Pharisees have made wrong assumptions about Jesus. Jesus just healed a man born blind, and he testifies to what Jesus has done. And yet the Pharisees will not accept that Jesus has done it, or that he's from God. They call Jesus a sinner. And what do they do to the man whose life has been changed by Jesus? Chapter 9, verse 34, they throw him out of the synagogue. They throw him out of the people of God. And in throwing this once blind man who's been healed out, what are they doing? They throw out Jesus. They throw out and reject the one who has healed this man and given him sight. What a crazy thing to do. What a foolish thing to do. These Pharisees are so religious, so respectable. And yet the religious leadership, the shepherds of the day, have led them away from Jesus and not to him. What a mistake. And Jesus says, "No, no, I am the gate. I am the door. I am the way to salvation." And that's why Jesus uses this picture language, this allegory, to challenge the Pharisees and to teach those who listen now. He uses the picture of a sheepfold and shepherds and gates and thieves and robbers. And the easy way to understand this passage is very simply to split it into two and to see the warning that Jesus gives, verses 1 to 8, and the promise he gives, verses 9 and 10. The warning and the promise. And the warning comes to us in a rebuke to the Pharisees. Can you see how Jesus describes the Pharisees in verse 1? Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. Jesus is calling the religious leaders of the day, the shepherds of God's people as they should have been, thieves and robbers. Not very flattering. Jesus is saying that these leaders are robbing others of the Saviour, Jesus. They will not accept who's from God, chapter 9, the one who God promised would come and set people free. They instead called the perfect Son of God a sinner in chapter 9. And they reject anyone who follows him. They kick the once blind man out of their religious club. The healed blind man is just thrown out. And Jesus says, quite frankly, they are thieves and robbers who rob people of Jesus. The picture of the people of God in this passage is pictured in a sheep pen. A sheep pen would have been a familiar image of the day. A sheep were very common. A sheep pen, a sheepfold, had a high wall that was guarded by a gatekeeper to keep the sheep safe. Oh, that's tricky. Try saying that. Sheep safe. Sean Connery's come here. The sheep safe. That was an image that they would fully grasp. They would have known that there is a right way into the sheep pen, through the gate, past the gatekeeper. They also knew that if you went another way, like thieves and robbers, you're up to no good, over the wall to grab the sheep. Israel's leaders, the Pharisees, were supposed to be like good shepherds who looked after the people of God. What we saw in Ezekiel, they were not good. What should true shepherds do when it comes to entering the sheepfold? Jump over the top? No. Verse 2, use the gate. The one who enters by the sheep by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. A true shepherd enters the pen via the gate. A true shepherd is known by the security guard. The gatekeeper, verse 3, opens the gate for him. And the sheep know the shepherd's voice and are led by him, verse 3. He leads them from the front. Verse 4, when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. That is how a true shepherd, a true leader of God's people should act. But Jesus is saying to the Pharisees of the day, that's not what you're doing. You're not acting like true shepherds. You're acting like thieves and robbers. You're up to no good. Very religious, loads of rules about what you can and can't do on the Sabbath. But Jesus, the light of the world, appears. And what do they do with Jesus, the gate, the way into the penfold? They reject him and anyone who follows him. And Jesus rebukes them and he warns them that we see verse 6, they don't understand what Jesus is talking about. So he makes it abundantly clear in verse 7 and 8 again. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. When I began teaching, fresh out of teacher training college, I made a schoolboy blunder. I did not put away the bottle of cleaning fluid out of the reach of the children in a safe place. So, of course, one child saw the gun, the spray gun, and squirted it into another child's eyes. And that was my stupid fault. In my head, I was going, stupid boy, why did I leave that bottle of cleaning fluid out where the children could take it? I was mortified, and I was duly humiliated at the next staff meeting when the headmaster rebuked me publicly, which he should have done, and he did. But also, he did that as a warning to everybody else on the staff team to be very careful about what they left lying around. It was a rebuke to me, but a teaching opportunity for everybody else in the school. And that's how this rebuke works for us this morning. To the religious leaders of the day, he rebukes them, but if we're believers this morning, it functions for us as a warning to be on your guard. He warns us. You see, a true shepherd of God's people will lead you to Jesus. Not to yourself, not to themselves, not to be more religious, not somehow some man-made theology, but to Christ. Be warned. We must not follow so-called Christian leaders blindly. Because as Jesus says elsewhere, there'll be false sheep shepherds, dressed up as shepherds, but actually wolves inside. I love the way that J.C. Ryle puts it in his commentary. The minister who makes much of Christ is a pastor after God's own heart, whom God delights to honour. The minister who makes little of Christ is one whom God regards as an impostor, as one who has climbed up to his holy office, not by the door, but by some other way. Unconverted ministers are dry rot in the church. When the blind lead the blind, both must fall into the ditch. If we would know the value of a man's ministry, we must never fail to ask, where is the lamb? Where is the door? Does he bring forward Christ and give him the rightful place? A warning from Jesus for those of us in leadership, not to go off the boil when it comes to teaching the Bible and Jesus' words. A warning for all of God's sheep, the flock, be on your guard. Check what your leaders and your vicars say about Jesus against the words of Jesus. A warning from Jesus to heed. But it's also a promise from Jesus. Verses 9 and 10. Let's look at those again. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus in verse 9 says he's the door, the way into God's forever family. So what is the way to peace with God? What is the way to forgiveness with God? What is the way to finding true purpose in life and the way to eternal life? Well, Jesus says, it's here, it's me. I am the gate. Look no further. I am the one you need to come to. I'm the one you need to keep trusting in. I will lead you safely home. Walk this way. Trust in me. And who can come to Jesus, the door, the gate? Well, Jesus says, anyone. Whoever. Whoever. It's open to all. Whatever our background, our culture, our ethnicity, whatever we've done or haven't done, we are welcome to come in. It's not about what we can muster, how good or not we've been, how much we know or don't know. It's about trusting in the gate, the door, the Saviour. As we'll see next week, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd who lays down my life for the sheep. It's trusting in the death of Jesus for us, his resurrection. When we look at Jesus, the gate, we say, hallelujah, what a relief, what a Saviour. It's all about you and nothing to do with me. I just come with the empty hands of faith and I trust in you the way. Maybe today you don't know Jesus in that way. And Jesus says to you, come to me. And you can be saved. You can have no condemnation for your sins. For I will pay for it for you on the cross. Come to me. Enter the door marked Jesus and you will be saved. What a promise. What a promise to whoever will receive it. Saved for eternity. But also saved for life now. It's the blessing of life lived now that Jesus offers as well to all who will receive it. Verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus comes to give us life now as it was intended, knowing God as our Father, having his Spirit in our lives to comfort and strengthen and to train us and to open our eyes and to be with us. Of having Jesus as our friend and Saviour. Of knowing that God has planned for us good things for us to do in this life for his glory and our good. Life to the full. Past forgiven. Past put behind us. Life to be lived now for Jesus. And a future of heaven assured. He has come to give us life. People love to paint Christians as grey, dull and boring. And lifeless. You give up all the fun of life. Now that is far from the truth. He has come to give us life as intended. People think that living life without Jesus is true freedom. That is a lie of the devil. He has come to steal and destroy people and take away the life that God wants for his children. I love the picture of life that Jesus paints here at the end of verse 9. Look at those sheep. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Just think of what a great day for a sheep looks like. I was brought up with many sheep in Wales. We saw lots of sheep in the Lake District a few weeks ago when we went to Keswick. A great day for a sheep is eating luscious grass to their heart's content, isn't it? Kept safe by the shepherds. For a sheep, grass in green fields, looked after by a shepherd, well, quite frankly, it's heaven on earth for a sheep, isn't it? Well, how much more for the people of God, now and forever? The person who has come to Jesus, the gate, the way of salvation, and is trusting in them, they can sing, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the paths for his name's sake." Life to the full, now and forever. What a promise from Jesus. Is that one you've taken for yourself? You can do that today and it can be yours. Do we need to be encouraged this morning that it is ours and we find joy in that and assurance and confidence and comfort? Jesus is mine, I am his. He is the way and my future is safe. Do we need to be reminded that not all who speak in the name of Jesus are leading us to Jesus? Be warned. A warning and a promise. Father, take this word into our hearts. Feed us, we pray by it. In Jesus' name, amen.